Who's gotten at least one vaccine shot? Who's gotten both shots? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? At one time, 1 year ago, a vaccine was a hope that maybe in a few years we would have a vaccine. It came much quicker than we expected, so now we not only have hope, but we have an expectation that it will end. Vaccination was discovered by the British doctor Edward Jenner in the 1700s. He injected a mild form of cowpox virus into his patients, producing immunity from the much more feared and deadly smallpox virus. A small amount of a disease kills a larger amount of a much worse, much more often deadly disease. One virus kills another virus. As theologian Scott Hosey puts it, like curing like. One disease is cured by another disease. But this medical treatment goes back to the Israelites, as we hear in this morning's Old Testament gospel, as they are wandering in the wilderness, oftentimes abandoning their relationship with their God and their deliverer. So God sent serpents into the camp to punish those who rebelled, until the rebels recognized their sin and turned back to God. They beg Moses, pray for us. Moses does. Notice God didn't simply drive out the serpents from the camp. He certainly could have. Instead, he had Moses create a bronze serpent toward which anyone who was bit by a deadly serpent would look at the new bronze serpent and be cured. Like cures like. This brings us to the gospel this morning, which undoubtedly contains one of, if not the most recognizable and memorable lines in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This is a summary of the mind of God, the action in the life and death of Jesus Christ. And it is the most succinct summary of the hope that lives in us. God gave himself in human form to redeem all that God had created, because God so loved the world. So there are a number of ways to approach this line. I'd like to unpack it slightly differently than we ordinarily would. God so loved the world, the whole world. Everyone is loved, everyone that God created. Not a country, not a church denomination or a faith, not just the lovable, but the whole world. That everyone who believes in him shall not perish. Don't you think this really hacks off the devil? Everyone, everyone who believes will not perish, but may have eternal life. This must come as a shock to those who believe that there are many who don't deserve to spend eternity in heaven. All who do, God says, any who will, anyone and everyone who believes. It's almost too astonishing. We have all sinned. We have all failed throughout our entire lives. What does God say? No problem. I'll sort it out. I will take care of it. I'll come. I'll take your place. I'll do for you what not one of you can do for yourselves. And our part in all of this? Any of this? We believe that he did. We trust that he did. We have faith that he did. That is the extent of our place in this whole enterprise, this agreement, this divine transaction. All we do is believe. It is always interesting to note and eternally important to remember, God didn't ask our opinion. He didn't ask for our input when he decided to come to earth in the human form of Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? We were not included in that decision. We were not given an option, which means we have no power. We have no control within it. Not having power doesn't usually sit well with us. But reason it out. If God asked our opinion, we would probably presume to have some power. We could think that we might have some control, some decision making. We might get to the point where we would decide who is in and who is out. God so loved the world that he didn't ask our opinion, didn't give us an option. God took control away from us, died for us, giving us the purest form of divine grace. Why might this be important to pay attention to? Because God's love is unconditional and self-sacrificial. It does not depend on us, you, me, in any way, shape, or form. The love that hung from the cross cannot be bargained with, cannot be earned, cannot be deserved or owed to anyone. What's more, because this relationship and gift is from God and we have no control over it, it means we can't screw it up. We can't. Try. I dare you. We can choose to accept or reject, but we cannot in any possible way exercise any form or type of control over it. It is a gift, freely offered, only to be accepted with grace and gratitude. As Paul said this morning in the epistle to the church in Ephesus, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." This, then, is the message and the power of the cross. The cross on Calvary is not as much an image of torture as proof of immeasurable grace. The cross is not about death, but life. It is not about fairness or justice, but about salvation freely offered to everyone, which cannot be justified or earned, only to be received with grace and gratitude. By Jesus Christ's physical death, God has given us forgiveness, atonement, and redemption. By Christ's physical death, our souls live on forever, even after our physical deaths, like curing like. Amen.